Item 5 is a subdivision rezoning at 582 Jesse Avenue under file DASZ 35-2012. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Developments Procedure Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following item will also be heard at the same time. Item 6 is a variance at 582 Jesse Avenue under file DAV 132314-2012D.
Okay. The applicant is up, I gather. Mr. Walters and
Mr. Walter, Gord Steves are here for the applicant, joined by Ernie Walter, the actual applicant. You'll recall, members of the community, this was a continuation of a matter that was put over from last meeting. I don't recall the exact date, but the January meeting. It's warmed up considerably since then, I can tell you. I'm pleased to report that a lot of the discussions that were mandated by the committee in fact did take place, and I think we have some news that the committee is going to regard fairly positively, but obviously that will be in your wisdom to discern. Generally, as a refresher of the project of 582 Jesse, it's taking one of the larger 50-foot lots putting a duplex on each lot, which will create the two 25-foot lots. As I said last time when I was in attendance, the majority of lots on this block are the 25-foot lots. Seven of the eight lots, sort of in the side neighbors, are the 25-foot lots. So it's in keeping with the character of the neighborhood. The changes made, in my respectful opinion, are relatively modest in terms of what's being suggested by the report. The side yards for the neighbors on one side, instead of the 3 feet, it's going to move to the 2 feet. And in fact, based on discussions that have occurred with the other neighbor on the east side, we're actually going to widen out from 3 to 4 feet to meet with the approval of the neighbors, and we had a plan to move the building in a different direction that met with everyone's approval. The problem is it didn't meet with approval approval of the plan, but that's not actually accurate. I think what Mr. Robson, obviously, who can speak for himself, will probably tell you is that it did meet with his approval. It's just that it was outside the allowable allowances of a tolerance. So we would have had to have somehow pounded stakes into the frozen ground and put up some more yellow signs and left them there for another couple of weeks and then come back and saw you again next month, Councillor Smith, on this matter. So we've opted not to do that. So what you'll see is a plan that doesn't require anything beyond what's before the committee in terms of the variances in the subdivision that's requested. I'll just walk you through Mr. Shaw, did I get that right? Shaw? And Mr. Walczak, Mr. Walczak is the owner of the property. Mr. Shaw is the tenant of the property. This is on the east side.
The property next door?
Yeah, the property next door on the east side. And they were the
West side.
By east I meant west. Right. They're on the west side of the property. You recall last time it was Mr. Shaw, who I think had expressed not disagreement with the project, but some concern, maybe a lack of information. I think he stated he was working nights or going to school nights, and he didn't have a chance to look at the material. So I think that the committee, in its wisdom, put the matter over a month to allow the conversation to take place, which it had. I can give you a copy of these, Mr. Clerk. Mr. Clerk?
I'll give it easy. Come on right there.
No.
You're on, Walter, and Daniel McGibbon were part of the process of going through the exchange of ideas on the property that were immediately adjacent to to the neighbor's property, of course, and the items A through J were the items that were discussed as items that would be done by the applicant in the construction, and I won't read them verbatim, but just to sort of touch on them. The first item A is talks about the original signage being 3 feet, which has been extended to 4 feet. Item B talks about the second floor light penetration, and there was the removal of the solid roof over the front deck and some adjustments there with the trellis plexiglass panels. There were two trees that were of concern. Those trees shall remain. Item number D, I think I overheard in discussions prior to that there, although there was a talk about building a 4-foot fence between the property, and while the applicant is prepared to do that, I think there was a suggestion that maybe the neighbor may or may not require that, depending upon how things go. If it's required, if it's wanted, it shall be there. Not a problem. They talked about the color of the cladding in item E, and then in F, concerns to make sure the foundation will not be affected, of course. The placing of the vents is dealt with in item G, and the notice periods to be given to the folks in the house next door in item H, and of course that a request by all parties that the items suggested in this letter would be incorporated. It would be incorporated into the ultimate agreement on zoning and whatnot. And then somebody was playing lawyer in item J there and said, this agreement shall be interpreted under and governed by the laws of Manitoba, which impressed the heck out of me because I did not write this. So good for them for seeing that. So with the with that, I think it was a nice process. And again, both folks are here. And they went through the process. And obviously, and as you're aware, the other property on the other side is not an issue. These are the people who will be most affected by the project. You have the addendums to the to your papers there that show the or do you? Actually, we never gave you the
color shots there or the operative shots.
If you're interested, the you saw some of these last month in the application where we went through them, and you'll see that the reports on the public hearing on the subdivision rezoning, I don't believe there would be any adjustment there, and I'll ask Mr. Robinson to help me out, but I believe there would be an adjustment to the variance if the committee deems fit to approve what's being suggested tonight. And Mr. Robinson, well, I don't mean to talk directly to him, but I'm wondering how to account for the adjustment as between the parties by agreement for the 4 yards instead of 3. My impression is that it would be an adjustment to item 2B on the front of the variance report. That's my thought. I don't want to get that wrong.
Would we just include all the variants? Like, not just cut, not include
that? Give me just a second to take a look at it.
Okay, I'll leave that with you. I'll leave that with you. So, and you're aware, the reports are quite positive. Nothing's changed on that. They enjoy the support with, our standard thanks to the ongoing commitment and cooperation of Mr. Robinson and his colleagues. The subdivision rezoning report goes through the tenants of our Winnipeg, and then I'm really quite a fan of the urban design guidelines that are spoken to in this report, and they do an excellent job. It talks about the guideline number 1, the rear yard setbacks, number 2, the front yard setbacks, number 3, the main building facade, number 4, the massing and the height of the new buildings, referencing that the both properties will be under the maximum allowable height, and that the pitched roof is consistent with the aesthetic in the neighborhood, and everything appears to be to match up. And it ends with to mitigate the impact of the long walls, the side elevations are being broken up with changes in the wall plan, which we know has been an issue that the committee has expressed in the past. So we think that it, it falls into good stead with the with the planning department, who have worked hard with the the applicant to get us to this point. The there was a process of public consultation that was gone through, and that was a topic of discussion last meeting. That flyer was distributed, where there was folks who appeared who I don't think were necessarily that sympathetic to the project. May well be in attendance again tonight, which is fair enough. But we did go through the members of the community who were in support of the project last meeting, who remain in support now. And again, always emphasize that in the evolution of Mr. Walter's construction in the neighborhood, there's been differing types of construction that the committee has had a chance to review over the course of, I guess I could say, years, or some years in any event. The look and feel of these properties, we would respectfully submit, of course it's always a matter of opinion, is more in keeping with the contemporary look and feel of the existing neighborhood. Some of the previous projects maybe a little more edgy in terms of in terms of pushing the envelope. These ones not as much, in our respectful opinion, more designed to match up with the contemporary nature of the neighborhood, which we hope the committee finds in its deliberations. So I'll leave you with, I think you may have had these from last time. Let me peek at the properties there if you're interested. It was interesting, and I'll conclude with this before I'll turn it over to Mr. Walter to see if he has anything to add. All three applications tonight I found very interesting. All evolutions of existing neighborhoods, which is exciting, I think, in this city. Different things being done in different neighborhoods, to differing scopes. I used to work at the old McGowan's building, so that one was interesting to me personally. And then the second project that came up, obviously something that's stepping a little bit outside what's historically been there, but still looks like a very neat project, and we hope this this falls into the exact same vein. Mr. Walter?
Yes, I want to really speak about the working with the neighbor. I think you've covered the neighborhood discussions. I would like to speak about the design changes that have taken place. And a lot of it has been to do with the consideration of the length of the building, which was talked about softening the back end, sort of reinstate that, you know, we're now 26 feet off the back lane and setback, which is quite different from the original 18. We've certainly dropped in scale from the original height of the 35 down to considerably lower than that, and to reflect the neighboring houses in there size-wise. Opened up the side yards a lot to allow more light in, took away any sort of shading elements around our buildings that would allow more light into their windows from the east sun coming in the morning kind of thing. So those are all considerations that are also that Gord didn't talk to that will make it more enjoyable and more amenable for the next property. That's all.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And I do see that your projects, as they've been coming forward, we've been going through a lot of them. There are some modifications, certainly the front yard impact. I appreciate the height is reduced in this case. So I know that you've been paying attention to some of the discussions that have been happening, but there's a couple of issues I do want to raise. In the analysis in the report, it talks about the fact that this area, this street, is in an area of stability. And and then it says that the policy is to support low to moderate change through development and redevelopment that's complementary to existing scale, character, and built form. And that's what I know is the goal here with each individual project. The concern that's kind of come to light recently, and we talked about this in the last meeting, but Ernie, you weren't able to be here at the last meeting, is that we look at each project in isolation in this process, but we're looking at a whole block, and this is project number four at this point, with number five on the way soon, on one block that's supposed to be an area of stability. We have four demolitions and complete reconstructions happening on an area that's supposed to be an area of stability. And that is a huge concern to residents in the area who have, it's very disruptive when you have an older home, you know, to have constant construction and to have four projects going on at the same time in one street is an issue of huge concern. And I just wonder if you could comment on that. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I know we have to look at each individual proposal, but we are also looking at an entire situation and how it's affecting people.
Yeah, and those are very fair comments. And I think we acknowledged last time that, it's not only an issue in this neighborhood, but there does appear, I mean, there's a few projects on this block, no doubt. I think there was a commitment made last time that they don't anticipate further construction on this particular block. At least that's my recollection as to what was said. I will ask Mr. Walter to verify that. It's a situation where you have to take special care, don't you? And that has to be acknowledged and it has to be laid out there squarely. The other side of the coin, of course, is that there is some benefit, I think, and some opportunity in having that market there, because it's been there for a while there, but as we all know, we've lived in the city for a long time, all of us, and these markets come and go, and when there's an opportunity for people to relocate into good properties like this, then you're going to go through these phases, I think, of increased construction. Will there be inconvenience with construction? I think the obvious and honest answer to that is yes, there always is for a neighborhood, and that has to be acknowledged. All of the regular care and stipulations that go into these things will be abided by. Obviously, the planning department takes these things into consideration when they're doing up their reports and making recommendations, either positive and or negative. This does, I would suggest, fall within the ability of the area to absorb the construction. But I mean, having said that, as per the projects that have come forward before the committee tonight already, there was discussions about how long is construction going to be for an 18-unit condominium, for example. Yeah, these things are difficult for neighborhoods. And
but that was a major transportation corridor as opposed to an area of stability
for sure.
Single-family residential area with some duplexes. So it's not really comparable. But, Ernie, I'd like to hear what you have to say about that whole issue. And I would point out that the planning report does not address that issue. It doesn't really talk about it because they can really only talk about one project at a time, and that's the unfortunate thing is that we're operating at one project at a time, not the whole impact on a street in a neighborhood. So, I mean, it's kind of we're boxed in that way. I'd like to hear what you have to say about that.
It's a subject that is brought about for many reasons. I mean, changes take place in neighborhood because people have a desire to live in new accommodations in an area. The rapid transit introduction is a catalyst to the neighborhood, and so that's automatically, is hopefully, brings about change, and certainly is having that feedback. And responding to that, I mean, the 269 project has now got one left out of it, hasn't even started construction yet, out of five. So, I mean, that's that would express the concerns. The thing I'd like to also say is that there's no question we'll take special care to monitor those construction traits. I mean, we absolutely will. We always have tried our best. We can't always control trade, but we certainly will. The thing is that it's a smaller scale, and each of these projects are really small scale. So this is not a year long. This is a summer project, and it's done by fall, and that's what we're after. It's quick. It's wood frame. It feels done on the outside, but it is still wood frame. It's a fast project.
And I guess at the last hearing, Yaron made a commitment that there's one more project that you're already in the midst of that you haven't brought forward yet, but I assume you will be.
I can address that, too. I mean,
yeah, because he made a commitment not to do further projects.
Our firm has made a very clear kind of thing to people walked in as clients that we won't do any more projects.
On this particular block?
No, we won't. We've just said no to people already who have asked, and we've said no. I can't stop them. Somebody else wants to do it. You know, somebody else says, I want to build in there. I can't stop that. But we won't do it anymore. We've got feedback in the neighborhood that says we'd like to slow up, so we'll slow up.
Okay, thank you.
I hate turning down business. I'll just tell them to go someplace, and I'll still be their architect.
Well, Well, there's other streets. It doesn't have to all be on one street. I feel for those people. I mean, if it was you or me, we wouldn't be happy about it. Okay, now, the other question I have is, in the report, it talks about the urban design guidelines, and it says, establish rear yard setbacks that are consistent with the pattern of the neighborhood. And then it says, it should be noted that on this block, most properties have setbacks of 50 feet or more. In that way, the proposed development is not consistent with existing rear yard setbacks. And that's really the only concern I have about this project in terms of massing and everything. Like, everything else you've covered, the front yard, you've moved the side yard, you've moved the height down, like all these things I've been at you about, and you've listened on absolutely everything except this one. Well, still there. So
I'd
maybe
like
you can address that.
Or you can address it after, but I certainly like to address that because really we have addressed it. And we have addressed it in what I call contemporary terms, because it doesn't mention the fact that against the back lanes of garage after garage, we don't have one.
Yeah.
And we have that open. And that's open because, A, it gives people space in that backyard. B, it gives them the possibility of parking extra cars in that backyard, which is not on the street. The neighborhood has parking problems all along. This puts the building for our owners to have a lot of parking.
So
not
a,
on the street. So
there's a 25 rear setback after the garage, is what you're saying?
Yeah, 19 foot rear from the building, but then the from the garage. So our garage is there, but it's underneath the condo. So we're not up against the back lane of the garage like everybody else is. So,
you know, okay.
Is the other really setback? It's not. They're not setback. Yes, they're setback, but the garage is there, and then the house is setback from there.
Okay, thank you. That's all my questions have been asked. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now back to the applicants, our people in support. Now, if your choice, if you'd like to come up and speak, by all means, the democratic right, but not necessary if you think they covered it all up. So I have Daniel McGibbon.
Okay.
You're good? Yaron Walter.
I'm okay.
You're good? Slowly. Yang Quang, you okay? Ling Ping Wang, okay. Ramona Welsh-Diak and John Welsh-Diak.
Yeah.
You good?
Yeah.
All right. Neil Xu.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Okay, for you, my good sir. And now we're going to move into in opposition. Riley Barkman, Cheryl Hobbs. Unless someone else has to speak first, if there's a group you can, or... No, we're good?
I'll
you come up? Okay. Oh, excuse me. You're be Riley Barkman?
I'm Riley Barkman, 573 Jesse Avenue, where
Thank
I've
you.
Lived for 37 years. We've been sort of through many of these things for sort of like on a monthly basis here. And just while my memory is sort of fresh regarding some of the comments made by Mr. Walter and Mr. Steves, the backyard setback is 50 feet within the neighborhood. And that allows, and there are garages which are generally set back 2 feet from the back property line. So that leaves basically 50 feet of green space in between the garage and the setback of the house. Now through that, down the block, you get air movement, you get light. It is a continuous picture down the block. There is a house, there is a yard, there is a garage. Now with Mr. Walter's designs, there is a house, there is an attached garage, and then there is a parking slot, 25 feet or whatever this now comes out to be at back from the back lane. It is not consistent with what is the context of the neighborhood. It does not promote the form of buildings and spaces. I'm sort of quoting here from More Complete Communities. They do not do that. They change what the community design is like. It is not in the same context. They are only in the same context when they're built beside each other. And it's just, it just breaks up the whole flow of view and of air movement. Mr. Steves mentioned the number of 25-foot lots that are on the block. And this is true. There are many 25-foot lots on the block. But they don't support 3,000-square-foot dwellings. They support 1,200-square-foot dwellings. They're not massed in size, and hence don't go back that far. Mr. Steves, some other times, has alluded to that. Well, it's too bad, but, you know, change happens. Yes, exactly right. Change happens. And there's nobody in this community that I have talked to are against change. But change must be managed, or else it becomes chaotic and disorganized. And change is managed through Plan Winnipeg, infill developments, complete communities. That is the construct around which these changes happen. They were all voted on by Mr. Steves, I think, was probably sitting on council when they were all approved a few years ago. It was just recognize the general guidelines that this is what these new infill developments or whatever you want to call them are. They match the context of the neighborhood. Councillor Gabassi mentioned the area of stability and the 15 condos, and that's true. But if these developments would follow Plan Winnipeg and would be in context and everything else, no one would have any issues with those. But they are completely different than what the neighborhood currently has. Completely different. Now, as for generating change, we have, this is certainly not a one-off, we have really what I would consider to be speculation in this particular block. We have a developer, if you will, or I'll call him a speculator, going up and down the entire block, offering to purchase every house in advance of any variances, of anything else. He has a business plan that he wants to follow. And his business plan was, seems, I can't speak for it directly, to purchase every house, those that are on 50-foot lots, subdivide them into 25 if he can't get fourplexes on them, and resell them. And from investors. The money comes from investors. Unless Mr. Walter is a lot richer than I think.
We just got to get back to this application.
Yes.
Whatever he's doing outside the block, and then Councilor Gabassi pointed it before, we just got to be focused on this rezoning.
We can't
talk about the whole grand, what may or may not be.
Okay. Well, then there's really not much more to say. Other than I think the committee needs to take these things. They can't approach them one-off because they're not. They're part of a grander plan. And so they have to be considered in that context. And also, they don't follow Plan Winnipeg or the infill guidelines or any of this.
Okay.
So
I have a question.
We have a question?
Yes.
Now, as you can probably tell from some of my questions I've asked, that I am sympathetic to some of the concerns that the people living on the street are having about these developments. But I do have to look at it in a sense as a one-off. I have to look at what's in front of me and say yes or no to what's in front of me today. So what they have done, they have, if it isn't about the density and it's about the massing in the lot, which I think is the major issue, really the only issue we can look at, really, in a way, is the main issue anyway. They've altered the front yards, so I think it's pretty acceptable. They've lowered the roof line so that it's more acceptable. They've now moved the rear yard over to four feet, or the side yard, and the immediate neighbor is in support. The only issue remaining that seems to be, that I'm wondering if there was anything that would satisfy people about that, Because is it that it's an attached garage and there's no space in between, or is there any advice you could give that would modify it, that you would, that would meet your approval, that would be more in keeping? Because it seems like the backyard issue is the big, the issue.
Well,
that's remaining.
For sure. I mean, for sure. It's the rear yard setback from, you know, and the lack of green space, the lack of airflow, the lack of light. And I think it is not really fair to the homeowners next door to be put in the position of trying to negotiate with the developer here. I think those are restrictions that you as a committee should put in place. The homeowner next door, it's not like me talking to my neighbor. This is not someone next door who is a neighbor. They are a developer. They're going to build something and they're going to resell it. So I'm on a big disadvantage. This is not an equal, you know, we're not talking about, we can move this a foot or we can move it, you know, like I think, you know, really neighbors here are negotiating from a position of weakness. And whatever they get, they get. But it seems they shouldn't be in that position. I think this committee should limit what the developer can do. And in so doing, respect what the neighbors, you know, what their concerns are, particularly when these concerns are going to be exacerbated by variances that you are going to allow. Right? So really, I mean, you put the neighbor at a really disadvantaged place here. I mean, it's, what can he say? Well, I'll try and get the very best I can, but is it what he wants? No. Is he what he deserves? I don't think so either.
One other question. Do you think that the backyard setback or whatever is being proposed here is going to hurt other neighbors as opposed to the one right next door, the one that has agreed to this agreement? Is it going to affect anyone else? Because to make a case to turn something down, if that was what you're making, you know, you have to convince the rest of council and other people that there's something that could affect somebody.
Well, I mean,
I'm trying to.
I don't know about air studies, about how air moves from the height of a 30-foot roof. How soon does, when there's a breeze blowing, how soon does it come back down to the ground? I don't know. That's not my expertise. But, you know, that they, I guess it doesn't, it affects your vision. It affects the light, I guess. You know, I can't, you know, you'd have to do some shadow studies and some air movement studies and stuff to see if it would affect three doors down.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
State your name for the record, please.
Excuse my voice. It's pretty. I hope you can hear me. Cheryl Hobbs. I live at 573 Jesse Avenue, Kitty Corner, across the street from 582. First of all, I just wanted, before we're done, there are no new variances then with whatever they have come up with? Is that correct?
Sort out that question.
Yes, I have. Yeah, there's no new variances.
No new variances. Okay. And before I forget, Mr. Walter said that the garage is under the development. That's new. That's new part of the plan then, because my understanding was that there's a deck, a part deck at the end over top of the garage, but most of the garage was open. With an open top.
Michael can, I don't mind if he explains that, or is that, do you want to wait?
Well, I mean, you can wait.
But that's a question when I
looked at the plans originally, and I haven't seen these new plans, there is a deck that over top of the garage. That's not the development, that's deck. And the deck does not go over the whole garage. Okay.
We can answer that after.
Okay, that's important to me, because I don't think that's correct. It's in reference to these sending the adjacent homeowner off to strike a deal with a seasoned developer. I think that's not fair. Mr. Walter has, in the past, I don't know what's happened with this one, has required that adjacent residents who strike deals sign an agreement of non-opposition, which means they will support the application at this committee and not appeal it. But he also requires them to sign deals that they will not oppose any future developments in the neighborhood.
Yeah, focus on this application.
Okay, I have concerns about that, and I don't think that that's right. It certainly would explain why there's less opposition in the community at this at these community meetings. I also wanted to point out that I believe there are four letters showing opposition to this development that were received by the committee, people who could not attend.
Yep.
Secondly, the issue about the deal about no further developments on the block, there are rumors in the community that Walter and company are negotiating with the empty lot next to the 554 apartment block.
And then maybe. That's not relevant.
Well, it is relevant to me.
Not to this application.
It concerns me greatly that they might be doing that. I believe it's unfair that that the resident be required to negotiate with the developer. Mr. Shao, I think, got quite reasonable restrictions taken off of the side property. I know that he tried to get the rear massing limited and was not successful in that. And these residents who have to strike these deals have to, it's kind of like negotiating with a gun at your head.
Again, I must say, I don't know what Mr. Shao or anybody did or didn't
okay.
do. So you just have to speak to the application.
Okay. I point out again that the rear yard massing is the major issue with this development. And it has been with all of the developments. And definitely go against the guidelines, our Plan Winnipeg, the complete communication, the community's direction strategy and field development guidelines, and requires the major variance of bylaw 200 to build a multiple family dwelling on a 3,000 square foot lot that should require a 5,000 square foot lot. Because they're subdividing. They start out with a 6,000 square foot lot. One of the other conditions of approving these applications is that it requires a minimum modification to allow it to be built. Subdividing this is not a minimum modification. They could build a duplex on the 6,000 square foot lot. Our Plan Winnipeg is a new document, 2011. It's supposed to official development plan guiding growth and change for the city. It is supposed to provide guidance for the next 25 years. And Mr. Steve's last meeting extolled the virtues of this comprehensive document. And it does provide insight into intensification in areas such as ours. The community has no problem with that. But it lists clear guidance to how infill should happen, clear guidance about the rear yard setbacks. These developments are being built 25 feet farther back than the back of the houses that are next door. That is significant. And beyond that, they attach the garage and then they have the parking spot. So this is significant. And it's not, this committee should not allow that to happen. As an example of the planning department, how they addressed this previously at the 589 Jesse Avenue application, they rejected the same kind of the planning department, not this committee, and they said the rear consistent at all the homes on the interior of the block follow a similar development pattern, consistent front yard setback, and large, ample rear yard setbacks to allow for rear yards and light penetration. The proposed development is inconsistent with this development pattern. The large building footprint in and of itself is inconsistent with the neighborhood. The footprint of this development is exactly the same as the footprint of 589. Nothing has changed. There have been no changes in regulations. And with this guideline, as as Councillor Gerbasi said, indicates that these are not consistent with the rear yard setback of the community. The process a reasonable, balanced infill development can be salvaged with this block for this development and future developments by applying the guidelines in a fair and balanced way. The rights of the existing homeowners and this community should also be considered and weighed heavily when these applications are considered by this committee. This is the fourth application in the block. There will be more. If this one is accepted, there will be 15 new condo developments on this block. That is not mild to moderate intensification, which is required by complete communities. The developer has refused to remove the egregious rear yard massing that even the planning department has said in the past is not justified. You should say enough is enough. This subdivision and rezoning and the sheer size of this application should be rejected. And in terms of how people down the block, it affects people down the block. When we all sit in our backyards, we look down all the backyards. We see all the trees. It's open. We communicate with our neighbors. And these really obstruct the rear yard, backyard experience of this neighborhood. It's wrong, and there's going to be more, and I just think it should stop. It's enough.
I just have one question. Is there something that they could do to modify this that you would find acceptable? What would you? Is there something about the rear yard they could change about what they're proposing?
Well, there is no rear yard.
Pardon me?
There is no rear yard.
Yeah, so what would they have to do to...
They would have to move the back of the building. They would have to not have an attached garage. They could have no attached garage and have some parking at the back and have a yard. But they should not be allowed to have a building extend 25 feet past the back of the adjacent house. And it's not even one story. It's whatever it is. If it's a two-story condo, it's two stories 25 feet back. So people who have gardens, that's what Winnipeggers do in the summer, is they enjoy their backyard experience. And... you know, it's just not right. And I doubt very seriously that these adjacent neighbors would be very upset if that didn't happen. They just are operating from a position of no power. And that's not fair. That's you guys' job. It's not our job as neighbors to negotiate this kind of stuff. It's important.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Moving on, Patrick Sergensen. Opposition or let's speak or in opposition?
No, just in opposition.
Okay, thank you. Shirley Ford. You speak or just? Sure, come on up. Of course. It's your time.
Hi. We had a community meeting last week on Tuesday. There were 27 people came. I chaired the meeting, that's why I came tonight, to say people are really upset about these developments and the lack of input. And okay, so that's that. I walk down that street every day, and it's a hot street. I tease Patrick all the time that he has the hottest street because there's already not that many trees on it. There's a lot of open parking lots, hard surfaces, I think with more hard surfaces and less green space, the area is going to become hotter. And it is. When you hit that block, it's like you hit a wall in the back lane. So it's going to affect the neighborhood, just the heat, the fact that there is no green space. And the more buildings like that, the hotter the area becomes, literally, with the thermometer, hotter. And it does affect people. Having tall buildings, that's right. I mean, they're still doing feminist studies, which when I was in university, they'd be talking about the isolation when you put buildings like that and people don't have backyards and are not communicating, and the isolation of the family and all the things we took at university, why it's bad. No one talks about that anymore, but we took that. The house is invisible, and Again, we're having problems with garages and building decks 50%, as you know, then later on they come back to have them extended. So just the increase in hard spaces and the heat in the neighborhood and the fact that people are really upset with it.
Thank you. Any questions? No. Thank you very much. Patrick Holbrock. Patricia Holbrock.
I'm here in opposition.
Thank you, Patricia. Okay. Anyone else that wishes to speak in opposition that I have not called?
Before they bring the next, could I ask Michael a couple questions before the applicant comes back?
Yeah, please ask. Is anybody here for information? Seeing none? Okay, we have some inquiries to the administration.
There was a question raised at the delegation earlier. Yeah, there was some clarification asked for about the garage and the deck over it, you recall?
Oh, okay. There is a deck over the garage.
Yeah.
They are proposing that. And the deck goes roughly to the edge of the garage, so it's about 19 feet from the rear property line.
And there's a variance for 19 instead of 25 feet, right? In terms of the space from the garage to the lane.
18 feet instead of 25 feet for the deck.
I guess I'm just wondering if you, from a planning point of view, you've heard people talking about the backyard use, and it mentions in this report, it mentioned in the 589 report, mm-hmm. It's sort of a continual theme about this whole backyard thing and that whole issue and how that could affect. Can you comment on that from a planning point of view, if there's any clarity you can bring to this?
Yeah.
That seems to be the major issue here today.
Definitely. Well, there's no argument that this development pattern is different from what exists in the neighborhood right now. It's hard to argue with that. Most of the houses on the street have a roughly 50-foot setback from the back lane, and there's a detached garage, so there's a space between the house and the garage. And that's a typical building form that you see throughout mature communities in Winnipeg. The zoning bylaw currently allows for attached garages. So it's a completely different development pattern, but it's permitted under our zoning bylaw. You made a motion at tonight's meeting for the administration to take a look at that. Take a look at that particular section of the bylaw to see if there should be some changes made to it. So we'll be reviewing that, taking a look at what's been approved, taking a look at what the community has to say about that, and determining whether there should be some adjustments made. But for the time being, this is a permitted form of development. There was some reference made to 589, and this is the same development as 589. There are some significant differences. I want to point that out. Initially, with that application, Mr. Walter applied for a rear yard setback of 11 feet for the garage and for living space above the garage, and we told him, or we said in our report, we will not support any variances in the rear yard. The living space has to be 25 feet back per the bylaw. The attached garage can be within that 25-foot setback, but we would not support any variances in the rear yard. And that's the same case here. There is no variances for the rear yard, with the exception of the deck on the second level, which is an open structure, so that doesn't really have any effect on visual. But in terms of living space, the garage, it all completely complies with the bylaw. So if the city's going to move in a different direction, it's a policy decision that has to be made by council. And the other thing about infill is that there's a constant evolution. We're starting to get more infill in the city. And it's natural for every city to sort of take a look at what's happening and think about, okay, are we comfortable with the way that these lots are being developed, or do we need to make adjustments to that? And I think we're in that process right now. We're starting to get some infill. We're starting to get some feedback from people that, you know, maybe this massing is not, you know, the greatest thing. So as we evolve as a city, we need to take a look at that. But for the time being, this is where we're at.
And isn't that why we are supposed to have decision-making at the local level, which is accepted, which it often isn't when it goes past the local level? But isn't that the decision we're supposed to make today about in the absence of a policy that's addressing what's happening in reality now and the change, that we are supposed to make a decision unique to each situation we're dealing with?
Well, I think in the absence of policy, you have to look at the impact on individual property owners. And in this particular case, if you look at the adjacent properties, on the east side, you have one of the duplexes that's proposed. To the east of that, you have 578 Jesse, which Mr. Walther owns as well, which he's going to be coming for with an application for that. And then on the west side, you have a homeowner who's signed off on approving it, and he's getting a larger side yard than he would otherwise would.
Yeah, but he's also, as was pointed out, in a position of trying to get whatever he can and protect. He may not want this backyard thing, but he's taking what he can get.
And that's fair enough, but setting aside the rezoning application for a second, somebody could put a single-family home on this property with exactly the same massing as what's being proposed here, with the same wall in the back. And they could actually go 1 foot closer to the side yard. They could have 3 feet instead of 4 feet. So that's a possibility with single family.
Yeah, but when somebody comes forward to the city, to community committee, and they want to change things and they want to increase their benefit from their investment in the property and they want to make changes, we're supposed to be the leaders here. It gives us the opportunity to impact that, and it's a give and take, is it not? Or is that inappropriate to consider asking for modifications that that are more compatible within that, while still granting, you're still granting more density and whatever?
That's a political decision, whether you want to make that change or not, whether to change the design so that it would, so that you would have a detached garage.
And I guess that's a question I was going to ask you from a more technical point of view. If we were to say, you have to have a detached garage rather than this whole attached thing with the deck and the wall going back, what would that do? Do you think that would make it better and more fitting in, or is there an issue with that?
Well, they could have a detached garage. You could put that in as a condition. But regardless of whether they have a detached garage or not, the bylaw allows them to have living space with a 25-foot rear yard setback. And all the other houses have a 50-foot rear yard setback. So you still have 25 feet of extra building.
No matter what.
And that's because of the way that this neighborhood is developed and the way that our zoning bylaw is written and the way it responds to mature neighborhoods.
So you're saying you still have 25 feet, but would it be in between the house and the garage as opposed to in between the lane and the... Like, I'm just trying to understand...
Yeah, I could maybe sketch it out for you if that would
be a little bit... Because now they're going to have 18 feet at the back and the solid building going all the way back. And if all the other yards all along are open, I'm just saying, it's something to consider.
They can't have that 25 feet no matter what.
Which 25 feet? That's what I don't
understand. Okay, so here's the property.
Okay.
Right now, they're showing a 25-foot setback to the living space, and then they're showing this garage projecting out beyond the living space. So you could require them to have a detached garage and have a space between the two, but regardless, the living space is still allowed to have the 25.
Whereas the other ones have like a 50.
Yeah, this is the existing house. So you still have this whole area that's allowed under the bylaw. And that's on any single family or two family lot anywhere in the city.
So if the garage was here instead of here, would that make any difference?
It wouldn't make any difference.
It'd be more structures.
Really. Yeah, you'd have two structures instead of one.
You'd have even more space. More
less space,
open
space. Yeah.
So then the issue is that the allowing the rezoning is allowing an increase of 2,000 more square footage. We're doing a variance to allow 5,000 square feet instead of 3,000.
You're reducing the size of the lot from 5,000 square feet to 3,000 square feet. That's the variance. The 3,000 square feet is consistent with most of the lots on the block.
The 25-foot lots.
The 25-foot lots on the block.
Okay.
All right, should I call the applicant back up? All right.
But you're also increasing, well, the lot area per dwelling is being reduced by 1,000.
It's, yeah, the two go together, the lot size and the lot area per dwelling.
A lot of numbers being thrown around.
Well,
you like numbers, eh, Gordon? We love enough.
I have to listen to the people all sides of this.
Okay, Mr. Stevens.
Okay.
So, Walter, you heard what the no new information. If you could reply back to some of the concerns you heard, it'd be wonderful.
Yeah, I would like to sort of go back, and I'll just go back through my notes as I go through here. I think our planner has really stated very succinctly in the fact that a single-family home will occupy a lot more space than are designed for the duplexes and can have more square footage. It's certainly that simple from that side. It's allowed to permit it in both cases. The other that bothers me in here, and Shirley Forsythe certainly knows my number and certainly can call me and certainly have made offers to people to get together, but nobody shows up in a meeting. So suggest that we don't cooperate, we don't communicate. No, no, no. I made offers to people to come in to visit. I made offers to drop their house, go to their house and meet. That's not the case. So I think it's wrong to suggest such a thing. I think that that somebody suggests, I mean, it's sort of like saying, you know, another previous meeting, Mr. Walters said that in a way he's even doing these for clients because they're not even sold. Well, I mean, they're all sold. I mean, so why make that statement up, or why say that there's, we get people to sign an agreement that they can't oppose the other application. Foolish, illegal, wouldn't even think about it. So why suggest that it's wrong? It's just wrong to have. the planner's already covered the 589 footprint. That's not the case. It was quite a different footprint than this design is. This design is considerably smaller and lower and narrower. Quite different. And I'll let Mr. Steves talk about the position in terms of how it's applicable to the Planning Act and Planning Winnipeg, and certainly.
Fair enough. And when I first started appearing for Mr. Walter some months ago, back in early 2012, there were often dozens of people who would attend with concerns, mm-hmm. and we've worked very hard in the neighborhood to allay the concerns, and I do believe there's been some tremendous success with people who live in the neighborhood, and they're much, much more supportive of these projects than they were even 6, 7, 8 months ago. And I think it's been a real success story, and I hope that that's acknowledged at some level. Obviously, there are some folks who I don't think we'll ever be there in terms of accepting of the projects, and fair enough, that's the process, and we respect that. We have to be careful here, because the planner is correct. These buildings are built sensitively with the new direction in mind. And the massing of the building, although it seems different than what was in the with respect to older homes, is different, and there's going to be some differences. But at the end of the day, as I think the chairman pointed out, the actual reality would be or could be that there'll be much, much more building on this lot. Recall these were, we started off at quadplexes and triplexes in discussions of those types of things. We've worked with the planner who and the neighborhood who weren't in favor of those types of projects, and this is kind of where we've arrived at in terms of what fits best. The attached garage is something that is, I would suggest, not only wanted by the administration of the city of Winnipeg, but I would suggest wanted by the public, generally speaking. I spent most of my city council life as the chairperson of the Protection and Community Services Committee. I know Councillor Gervasi was there as chairperson earlier in her tenure. The detached garage is something that creates some concerns. I don't know that aesthetically, whether a garage is attached to the house or moved out to the edge of the property, I'm not sure aesthetically what difference that really makes at the end of the day, but we have to be very careful. The The situation is this, and I don't mean to personalize this, but I was at my parents' place the other day. My parents still live in the same house that I grew up in. And there's four houses right there, just in our little section of the block. They're all owned by the original owners, the parents of my friend, who they still live there. Now, two of the fathers have passed on. And I counted, there were 23 people who lived in those homes when I grew up there. There's now five who live in those homes. And that's the situation that we're dealing with. We're trying to evolve neighborhoods to meet with that reality. These neighborhoods will revive themselves. These neighborhoods will evolve and change over time. And we have to be willing, I would respectfully suggest, to evolve the style of housing somewhat. Now, we have come before this committee in the early days of 2012 with ideas on quadplexes and triplexes. And the planner and his colleagues were very, very clear. This does not fit. This is too much. This is beyond where we're willing to go. Fine. We accepted that. Even had to withdraw a couple applications, you'll recall. Because they didn't fit. Fair enough. We moved to the duplex, which is clearly enunciated specifically in the plan as a way of evolving neighborhoods. There were many, many general comments about neighborhood, and I thought there was some speaking for other people that might not necessarily be accurate. We'll be that as it may. I think the decision here has to be a policy-minded decision based on the planner's advice and evidence, which I think is sage. And just so we're 150% clear about this, the discussions went forward with the neighbor at the behest of this committee. The tenant was here, present at the last meeting, and his opposition was not at all vitriolic. It was, he had some concerns and he wanted them addressed and he wanted some discussion to take place, which discussion did take place. And if I don't mind saying that I think he's done very well for himself, thank you very much, in terms of negotiating himself a bigger side yard than pretty much anybody else has got. So good for him. And the project is designed to fit that and make go with it. So, I mean, we don't want to, because I think there's a history here with some of the folks who have come forward, we don't want to fall into the trap of eliminating a project that we think is very, very positive here, and a project that works not only for the adjacent neighbor, who's come here twice now and in consecutive months to state so, but for the neighborhood at large. Mr. McGibbon, and younger Mr. Walter have met with many, many people to talk about their concerns, and to a large extent, their concerns have been assuaged and allayed, and they feel good about this project. And I think they'll be very proud to have this project in their neighborhood, as would I, as we hope you would as well. Those would be our comments.
I just wanted to say, first of all, I think that the adjustments and modifications you have made, I think, have been acknowledged, certainly by myself,
in terms of
a number of improvements, like Linda said, the lowering the height, the front yard issues, you've moved the side yard over. So really the only remaining issue is the massing in the rear. And I don't think it's fair to characterize people as being against density or change. Again, that's been repeatedly said. People are willing to accept an increased density. They understand that. It has to do with the massing and the impact, and I guess I'm just asking you, I think that comes down to the size. Ultimately, it's the size of the units. It's not really the number of units. It's the size. It's the mass. So, you know, we had earlier, we had earlier projects today that were 5,000 square feet. I'm not saying 500 square feet units, I know you're not going to build, obviously you're not looking at 500 square foot unit, but you're looking at pretty big units all the time with these projects, and you're putting more on a 25 foot lot. So I guess what I'm asking, would you consider I mean, I realize you've done a lot to bring harmony to this to a certain point, and I'm very pleased with that. And I guess I'm asking if you'd be prepared to go further than you've gone in terms of reducing the size of this project so that the backyard could also be less of an issue in terms of massing. Because it clearly is an issue. It's mentioned in the report. It's an issue for the residents. It's the only issue remaining, really. But it's a pretty significant issue, and it's setting a pattern throughout the neighborhood with these backyard setbacks. And I think that's a real issue, and I think it just comes from the sheer size of the units and the way it's designed. Is there any design alterations that you would consider in any way that could be done? Or is it just impossible? I mean, I guess that's what I'm asking.
You have to answer this one.
Well, I think there's been considerable work with our client, and we've asked our clients to bend and, of course, pay us more. But they don't like doing, but we've changed it. We've dropped the size. We've also, though, you know, taken them through the history of work we have done in the neighborhood and illustrated to them the size of larger units and tried to point out that there is merit in a smaller unit, and these are smaller units. These are considerably smaller than other ones we've done in the neighborhood, including just down the street. So we have reduced it substantially. To take it down lower, I'd be questioning my own logic of saying, are you really going to have the client for that? Although at the same time, on other projects, we are now looking at other projects where we've gone to different types of design. Because it's a blend. The neighborhood's made up of a whole blend of different people and different consumers. And so it is a blend. But we've talked our clients into a lot more, lot smaller units in here already.
I recognize you have, as I said, I acknowledge you've already been, I guess I'm just asking, I mean, could you not go with a duplex on a 50-foot lot that has a backyard? And you'd still have a really, really nice property. Houses are very desirable in that area. Could you not consider something like that? Like, I'm being asked to approve rezoning after rezoning after rezoning. And people are fed up in the neighborhood about it. And I know I don't necessarily have the political support for that. But I'm saying, like, would you consider anything else other than what is exactly here? Because I still feel it's an issue for people here on this street.
Yeah, I think there's a big misunderstanding here. I end up in that scenario all the time. I mean, I have to advise my clients that there may be opposition to this. And would you consider doing a smaller unit? I mean, I go through the exercise myself in my own office with my own clients. And I've had to spend time to take them down to a smaller unit now from where they envisioned it. And I've succeeded in doing that.
So you're saying you couldn't go any further than you've gone?
I can't see convincing them any further than this one. I just can't. I've taken
so
them
what,
a
would, you, what
down.
Would happen if council said no to this development? What would you do?
I guess they'd have to address that.
Are you suggesting sort of a larger single-family home on each lot?
Well, I mean, it's a 50-foot lot. You could do a duplex on a 50-foot lot as opposed to, two duplexes. You don't have to subdivide it.
Yeah, no, I guess there's a lot of different
things. Like, you have a 50-foot lot right now,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, if this didn't go ahead, you may not want to build a single-family home. You could build a duplex.
Considering this marketplace, though, and the costs associated with it. I don't know of anybody who's come to my office, and I've had a couple of people in suggest they might look at a duplex, but I get a duplex of 3,500 square feet. When you give them the costing on it, you know what, they decide not, because the land's far more expensive in the neighborhood, so that's a condition to start with. And then construction costs are there, so they back off. We've had a couple of people come in. I'd have to say to my clients, hard sell. If you want to give all that, then you're going to win. I don't think you'll sell it.
Every house is up for sale in that neighborhood has gone in about 5 minutes right now.
No,
so I'm not really convinced.
Absolutely. No, and granted, and I think that's kind of part of the issue in terms of our dealing with the planning department, who I think are lockstep with Mr. Walter in terms of the idea that we want to provide more housing. Like, that is the goal. This, you heard my example about the four houses in my old neighborhood. This neighborhood, from 1971, using the census data, to 2006, The population has dropped about 40% in this neighborhood. And it's for the reasons that I just mentioned. The same evolution of families. And the same things happened in this neighborhood that's happened in my home neighborhood where my parents live.
Well, that's why yeah. I suggested a smaller footprint with, you can still have your four, it's two duplexes yeah. with a smaller footprint that fits with the rest of the neighborhood. I'm just trying to get at that last piece that doesn't quite fit. And I'm not against the density, and I don't think the residents are either.
So duplexes on with a smaller footprint, do I understand you correctly, Councillor?
Right. Yeah. So that there's a backyard that fits with the rest of the area. You could do it. It's just, I'm asking a lot, but it's...
And here's the challenge, and obviously a very, very difficult decision to make on the fly, right? Because to completely redevelop a property at this table is hard to do.
I'd be more than willing to lay it over for one more month and let you consider what I'm saying.
But
that's an option.
The challenge is that we, as we understand the process, we are to meet with the planning department and work out acceptable proposals for the committee, which we've done, and we've come forward with.
You've come forward to a community process where we've heard input from the elected officials and from the people in the community, and they have issues with the proposal. Unfortunately, the planning department is following a zoning bylaw that does not address the community's concerns right now. And I've actually asked for a review of that today, which probably, I don't know if I'll get it in terms of this issue with backyard massing, but there is a zoning review coming. So we're in a difficult, that's why I've had such a difficult time. We've had, this is the fourth one, and I've approved them so far, because it's very difficult. I'm trying to find a way to approve something for you. I don't want to turn it down completely. But I'm saying if you can, you've modified everything else except this one part of it, which is the backyard impact, and that's the only thing. There'd be no way I'd be able to turn it down if you could do something about that. So I'm appealing to you to think about it. If you had a little bit more time, is that something you could sit down with Michael and discuss a modification to that would address that one remaining concern? And I believe it's a concern, even if people have signed an agreement. You know, I have a reason that people don't want to live next to that backyard like that. They've agreed to it because they're in a position where they have to sign something, to get the lesser of evils.
They didn't have to sign anything.
No, but they felt they did. It's called a position of power.
I think
that was a good point that was raised.
It's a little difficult at this stage in this project, but I will take your advice very strongly, as I've taken prior already, saying I will tell my clients not anymore in this neighborhood. Neighborhood, we won't be your architect.
Kicking you out of the neighborhood. This one street that there's five projects going on.
And I will take your advice.
That's not
very
what
strongly.
I meant, so I don't want anyone to say saying that.
I'll take your advice very strongly for our, and see if we can study within the firm on a next project. I really will try to see what we can do, but I just can't see.
So we're going to go forward with the one as is now.
Part of the challenge is we came forward in good faith last meeting, put our best foot forward, had all the concerns heard. The concern at that time seemed to be the concern of the immediate neighbors. We said, fine, okay, we'll embark on that process. We went out, we got that process solved, and now we're back. There's less people here tonight. We have the consent and the acknowledgement of the neighbors to whom we were instructed to work with and have worked with. I don't know if it all can be done, but these are good words on a go forward basis. But it's this particular project has undergone a lot of modification so far. Yeah.
So are you saying, though, that in future projects you will look at this backyard issue as well, like you've looked at all the other ones we've raised?
Absolutely.
But this one is outstanding. And I know you're
a neighbor, but I'll study for other kind of conditions. I certainly will, and I'll get them to plan and get their feedback.
And we would look forward to, I don't know when the planners would come back with the information you've requested on the garages specifically, but this is the type of information that is exceedingly helpful on a go-forward basis to have to know it going in would be very, very helpful.
Well, these concerns did come up. In fairness, like this isn't inconsistent with what we've been I've been saying all along, and I did say this last month, so I'm not changing my tune on you or anything.
Okay.
But just to make that on the record. But I appreciate, I'm not trying to understand you're in a difficult position, you're in a certain point in a project, but these issues are significant, and I just want to impress that upon you.
But I didn't mean to come across as not appreciating that. But I think what we're involved here in is in a neighborhood process, and I would encourage the committee to look at the evolution of the projects over the course of the last 9 months, and how things have gotten better, and the projects have changed, and they're more fitting with the community. We're getting better, I would suggest, with each passing project, and this one is no exception, and maybe one of the final steps in the evolution to get to where we want to go.
Well, that's what I'm hoping, and that's why I'm being so hard on you, but not because I don't care for you very much.
I would expect nothing less, Councillor.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else?
No.
Seeing none? Okay. Any questions to administration? Seeing none? All right, Councillor Gervasi, take us off on number five, please.
Sorry, I'm just finding the right spot. Higher up? Oh, sorry.
Go down a bit.
There we go. I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All in favor, opposed, carried.
I move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All support, opposed, carried.
And I move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in and forwarded to the Standing Policy Committee on Property and Development. And the reasons for that is it's with great difficulty because I do have a lot of problems with this dilemma that this particular block of citizens are put on. But considering the fact that the neighbor beside is in support, and the planning department is in support, I don't see how this would get through any other committee under the circumstances of even if I did try to take a stand on this one, it would certainly be proceed through council regardless of what decision I make today under the way this has been established. So. I do agree with the issue. For the supporting reasons, I don't have a problem with the density, limiting it to duplexes. But I do want to put on the record that there are some concerns about this being an area of stability and the amount of change that's happening there, and that hopefully future projects can be more respectful of the issue of massing in the backyard in particular. With those cautionary things, I will support this. And I move that.
Smith, would like to make some comments?
Yeah.
I'm supportive of this because I think they made a number of changes. I think they went their way over backwards. And there's only this one thing that is hard for them to change without changing the density of the building. So I'm supportive, and I know it's been very difficult for Councillor Gervasi. It's her ward, but I would not want to oppose this because I think they've done their utmost to make it acceptable.
Okay. Thank you.
I move the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
I'm supportive. Carried.
Please note that the committee has made a recommendation on this matter, which will now proceed to council. No further representations are permitted, and all persons registered for the public hearing will receive notice when the matter is considered by council.
And on the variance?
As amended, I guess.
No amendments to the variance at all.
No. Okay, great.
But the plans are as presented here, so that would include the 4-foot setback.
This evening, correct, with the 4-foot setback.
And that comes forward to plan approval at community committee as well.
That's the condition, yes.
Is a condition we put on? Okay.
All right.
In the variance, I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All support, opposed, carried.
I move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All support, opposed, carried.
I move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in.
All support, opposed, carried.
And I move that the criteria of the City of Winnipeg acts that are below are satisfied.
I support a post hearing.
And I move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
I support a post hearing.
Please note, committee's decision with respect to this application may be appealed. Should you wish to appeal, information on how to do so will be included in the order issued, which will be mailed to all persons registered.
Move to adjourn.